Well, Stephanie, that just makes us want to walk in the light even more. That was beautiful. Thank you so much. It takes a lot to give like that, and yet it just seems so effortless. You're just so wonderful. Thank you. Well, ladies and gentlemen, without further ado, it's time to turn the fellowship over to Mr. Jerry Brown. He's going to be holding forth God's word.
Thank you. That's my girl. That was a great job, Steffi. I know everybody else has got something to say, though, so I got to let them get it off their chest. You guys ready? I am what the Word of God says I am. I have what the Word of God says I have. I will be what the Word of God says I will be. I can do what the Word of God says I can do. And I have God's favor in my life. ¿En español? Yo soy lo que la palabra de Dios dice que soy. Yo tengo lo que la palabra de Dios dice que tengo. Yo seré lo que la palabra de Dios dice que seré. Yo puedo hacer lo que la palabra de Dios dice que puedo hacer. Y yo tengo el favor de Dios en mi vida. Give yourselves a hand. You guys sound ready to hear God's word. Well, I'm ready to teach God's word. And I'm going to teach today on the three commissions. This is something that E.W. Bullinger worked in the Word, and I've spent some time studying it, and I think it's appropriate to teach. I've added some things and worked some things around, but it's a very interesting subject because it's what Jesus related after the resurrection while he was still on earth before the ascension. And that's the time period in which we currently are. So that's how it relates to us. Well, it also relates in another way. It's going to increase your understanding of the Word significantly. You're going to read things in the Word after today and have a totally different perspective. And I hope that that happens for each of you. The Bible records three commissions given to the 11 apostles at different times and distinctly different occasions, all using different words. They're very different commissions. The delivery of these three commissions comprised some of the events following Jesus Christ's resurrection. And they're tied significantly to his first, second, and third appearances to the 11 and others. These commissions are highly significant in that they relate to the kingdom and the king, and they relate both of those to that which has already transpired, that which is presently happening, and that which is yet to come. Knowing these will help you understand more about the time period following the Lord's resurrection, one of the primary purposes of this teaching, as well as the scope of each of these commissions, and it will help you put together the scriptures even better than you do today, especially because they're familiar to you. Turn to Luke 24. This first commission is all about the continuation of Christ's ministry and John the Baptist's ministry. And it was about repentance and remission of sins. And it's already happened. So Luke chapter 24 and verse 47. And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. This commission was given in Jerusalem on the evening of the day of the resurrection. It was given not only to the 11, but also, and look in verse 33, them that were with him. And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them. That's how they're described. Well, what was this first commission? It was the continuation of John the Baptist and of Christ's ministry. Jesus taught them about the proclamation and rejection of the kingdom as well. So what I'm going to endeavor to do, and I really hope it comes off okay, is talk about two things simultaneously throughout this teaching. The three commissions and interesting things about the kingdom. So you're going to hear both. And understand that they're running simultaneously and they overlap and do all kinds of funny things. And I'll try my best to make it as clear as possible. And if you have any questions, just let me know. Let me know. Well, let's start in Matthew chapter 22. This is a parable that you've all read perhaps many, many times. And so you'll find it vaguely familiar, but probably you won't understand it or probably don't understand the fullness of it. And I don't either, actually. But I know a lot more than I did. And I'm going to relate some of that to you. In Matthew 22, verse 1, "And Jesus answered and spake unto them again by parables, and said, The kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king, which made a marriage for his son, and sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come. Again he sent forth other servants, saying, Tell them which are bidden, Behold, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fatling are killed, and all things are ready. Come unto the marriage. But they made light of it, and went their ways, one to his farm, another to his merchandise. And the remnant took his servants, and entreated them spitefully, and slew them. But when the king heard thereof, he was wroth. And he sent forth his armies, and destroyed those murderers, and burned up their city. Then said he to the servants, The wedding is ready, but they which were bidden were not worthy. Go ye therefore into the highways, and as many as ye shall find bid to the marriage. So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all as many as they found, both bad and good, and the wedding was furnished with guests." I know that you've read this before, perhaps many times. Knowing its exact application, though, will free your mind to understand its great significance as it applies to Christ's continued ministry. This parable was how Jesus communicated the secrets of time to his 11 apostles and us. This one in particular discusses three periods of time relating to the kingdom of God. The Gospels are organized not by time, but by subject. That of the kingdom and that of the king. Those being the proclamation of the kingdom and of the king. Then the third and fourth are the rejection of the king and kingdom. So you have two proclamations and two rejections. And that's how the Gospels are organized. Each one of them follow that same format. The first servants in verse 3, we're still in Matthew 22, sent forth were John the Baptist, the 12 apostles, and the 70. Now, I know you've read the Gospels before, so you should be familiar with these guys. They were sent to those who had been previously bidden, but would not come. The other servants, in verse 4, were Peter, the 12, and them that heard him. And they're related also in Hebrews chapter 2, and we'll see those in a minute. These were sent during the book of Acts period. So what I want you to understand is Matthew 22 is talking about these three different commissions. And it's also talking about how they relate to the different administrations. And so it gets a little confusing. That's what I'm trying to step you through. So in those 10 verses, You've already seen John the Baptist in Christ's ministry. Now, in verse 4, we're seeing Peter, the 12, and them that heard him. And that was during the book of Acts. And these guys proclaimed that everything was ready once again. Well, didn't they reject Christ and John the Baptist? In fact, didn't they even kill him? Mm-hmm. But then Peter and all the apostles in the book of Acts tried it again. They proclaimed that everything was ready. And that's what you're seeing in Matthew 22 when you read that. You know, they said, okay, go try to get more people to come again. All right? The sufferings had been fulfilled, and the glory was ready to be revealed. Therefore, Peter said, repent! Remember that in Acts chapter 2? Instead of repenting, what did these guys do? Well, they took the servants and spitefully used them and slew some of them. Some were in prison, one was stoned, one was slain with a sword. More persecutions continued right up to the end of Acts chapter 28. Well, we learned also that the king was wroth and sent his armies and destroyed those murders and burned up the city. The temple was burned, wasn't that 72 AD? And the nation was dispersed. Finally, and we're still gleaning out of chapter 22, the last servant sent will go into the highways of the world. And this is again a reference to yet future proclamations of the gospel of the kingdom. For now, the marriage feast is postponed. They just couldn't get people to come. It's postponed, as is subsequently the gospel of the kingdom. And all invitations to it are held in abeyance. Its future fulfillment is yet to take place. And you can read about that in Matthew 24:14 and Revelation 19, verses 6 through 9. But we're in the first commission, Christ's ministry, John the Baptist's ministry. In this first commission, they were all to proclaim, do you remember what it was? Repentance and remission of sins. That was their responsibility. The genesis of this was allowed by the new covenant released during none other than the Lord's Supper, the Last Supper. Matthew 26, let's read that. Matthew 26 and verse 26. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and brake it and gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink ye all of it. For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. Something that has yet to transpire. Something that is held in abeyance right now. Without this, what we just read, the first commission could never have been declared. Without this new covenant, this remarkable message of pardon could never have been proclaimed. This great message of pardon was first proclaimed in Jerusalem, then to all the nations, and later, as I already mentioned, by Peter in the book of Acts. We can read that if you'd like. Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of Holy Spirit. And also in Acts chapter 3, verse 19, you guys have probably heard these 1,000 times. Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. Well, that's the first commission. The second commission was given for the personal ministry of the apostles and to be fulfilled by them before the destruction of the temple and of Jerusalem. And it still applies to us today. Let's turn to Mark chapter 16 to see the second commission proclaimed. I just find it so interesting that I've read these verses oodles of times, but to understand how the Gospels are actually set up by subject, talking about the proclamation of the kingdom, then the proclamation of the king in that order, and then the rejection of the king and the rejection of the kingdom. And if you read the Gospels in that light, you'll see them unfold in a totally different way. And it never changed. They're always like that. All four Gospels do exactly the same thing. And so then when you lay on top of that, like overlay these commissions, these verses take on a whole new meaning. You can't just say they're for us. You can't just say they apply to our time. You can't do that anymore. These are verses that sometimes are pasted on walls, but shouldn't be. So, it's quite interesting to me. Mark 16, verse 15, "And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned or judged. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils, and they shall speak with new tongues." And we supply the word "if." They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. This commission is the second commission. We're all familiar with it. And it was given by the Lord to the 11 when they sat at meat. It was carried out by them that heard him, as foretold in Matthew 22, verses 4 through 7. And I'll read that. Now, we've already read Matthew 22, verses 1 through 10. But I'm going to pull out that second commission part, starting with verse 4. "Again, he sent forth other servants." Now, this is the next sending, and it was these other servants, saying, "Tell them which are bidden, Behold, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fatling are killed, and all things are ready. Come unto the marriage." But they made light of it and went their ways, one to his farm and another to his merchandise. And the remnant took the servants and entreated them spitefully and slew them. But when the king heard thereof, he was wroth. I could have stopped reading, but I'll just read that. "And he sent forth his armies and destroyed those murderers and burned up their city." And as I said before, the other servants in verse 4, Peter, the 12, and then that heard him. And I'm going to read Hebrews chapter 2 in a minute, because you'll see it all kind of come together. These were sent during the book of Acts period. They proclaimed that everything again was ready, just like Jesus and John the Baptist had done. The sufferings had been fulfilled, and the glory was ready to be revealed. Therefore, repent. That was the message. Well, instead of repenting, the people took his servants and entreated them spitefully and slew them. Some were in prison. One was stoned. One was killed with the sword, as I've already mentioned. More persecutions continued right up until the end period of the book of Acts. This second commission was fulfilled in Mark 16. Turn there. Mark 16. This records the fulfillment of that commission. Verse 20. "And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following." Isn't that something? It was confirmed in Hebrews 2. So we saw that in Mark 16:20 it was fulfilled. I didn't say confirmed there, did I? I hope I didn't. It was fulfilled. And now in Hebrews, turn to Hebrews chapter 2, this is where we see the confirmation of that. This really amazes me. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 3. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord? Now, do you start to see this? And was confirmed. That's why I'm calling it a confirmation. Unto us by them that heard him, God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders, and diverse or many miracles, and gifts of Holy Spirit according to his own will. Isn't that something? It just pulls that together. It's amazing. The book of Acts is the inspired history of the fulfillment of this commission, the second commission, as far as it is necessary for our instruction. I'm sure there's a ton more that could have been put in Acts, but what's in there is enough for us to continue it. This commission was given for the personal ministry of the apostles, to be fulfilled by them before the destruction of the temple and of Jerusalem. And then you have the third commission. The third commission is wholly future in its application. It is the summons to the Gentile nations to submit to the Lord Jesus as the King of Israel. And you just can't mix this one up with our day and time. Although it's easy to do because of how people use, or should I say misuse, the scriptures. But let's see this commission in Matthew chapter 28. And I'm not going to read verse 19. It is an absolute forgery. You may read it if you'd like, but I'm going to read what the text says. But we're going to be in Matthew 28 reading verse 19 and 20, but I'm going to read what the text says for verse 19. Go ye therefore and make disciples of all nations in my name. Far cry from what they said, it says. I'll read it again. Verse 19 from the text says, go ye therefore and make disciples of all nations in my name. Verse 20, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. That is the third commission. And it was the summons to the Gentile nations to submit to the Lord Jesus as the King of Israel. But you didn't have any idea that all those different things were in there. This commission was given on a mountain in Galilee. It was the proclamation of the King who had left Jerusalem, according to Luke 19. Turn there, please. Luke chapter 19. And in verse 12, he said, therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. Gives me chills. He had left Jerusalem and fully intends to return in power to set up his kingdom. How do I know that? Turn to Matthew 26. This is the third commission. Matthew 26, verse 64. Jesus saith unto him, thou hast said, nevertheless I say unto you, hereafter shall ye see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven. As I said, this commission is the summons to the Gentile nations to submit to the Lord Jesus as the King of Israel. And that's according to Psalms. Turn to Psalm 2. Psalm 2, and we'll start with verse 10. Be wise now, therefore, O ye kings, be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. This is addressed to the nations. Really something. Highly significant is the fact that this is a proclamation of the gospel of the kingdom, a witness to all nations immediately before the end of the age. So I've said that we're going to talk about the three commissions, but overlaid upon the subject of the kingdom. Okay? And out of Matthew 22, we saw how that they tried to launch the kingdom twice, failed, so they stopped talking about it, and it's held in abeyance, and it's going to, again, come into proclamation and then actual manifestation at some future time. Well, look in Matthew 24. Matthew 24. So I bet you thought Jesus just spent his days on earth after the resurrection going around having fish with everybody. He was pretty busy. Not just having fish. Matthew 24, verse 14. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations. And then shall the end come. See that? That's a whole lot different than what we're doing today. And now that I've told you that, the blinders have been taken off. If people continue to teach that this is what we're doing today, they're simply reinforcing that blindness. And the worse their interpretation is, the worse the blindness. But they can never undo the truth of this. That's what's interesting. And so if you understand how the Gospels are arranged by subject, if you understand these three commissions, and if you understand this kingdom of God that is still yet to come, and that these verses that I'm just now reading apply very specifically to that, you're not going to interpret it incorrectly anymore. You're not going to be promoting blindness, and you yourself will see it clearly. So Matthew, we read Matthew 24:14. There's another one in Revelation 14 that refers to this. If you notice, it's talking about all nations, a witness to all nations. It's talking about judges of the earth, all the kings. Serve the Lord with fear. I mean, that's a whole different message than just to Israel. That's a whole different message than just to Christians. In Revelation 14, verse 6, but I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel. You see, the kingdom of God is something that's overall. It will last forever. There's other kingdoms, kingdom of Christ, kingdom of heaven, and other kingdoms mentioned in the Bible, but they're not going to last forever. But this one does. So verse 6 again, and I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth. This is more than just Christians. This is more than just Israel. And this is how you can start to get a feel for the audience. To whom is it addressed by paying attention to these words? To every nation and kindred and tongue and people. Now that's just a whole different audience, isn't it? In Acts 28, the formal rejection of the proclamation of the kingdom was made by the chief of the Jews. being many. After this, the proclamation of the gospel of the kingdom ceased. And it's now held in abeyance. Do you know what that means? Put on pause. Still going to happen. God's going to hit the play button again one day. Hebrews 2:8. You can read that with me if you'd like. Declares truthfully that now we see not yet all things put under him. We don't see the kingdom yet. Today, the second commission continues. And declaration of God's kingdom is held in abeyance. But we're talking about the third commission. This third commission is still wholly future, W-H-O-L-L-Y, future in its application. It proclaims the judgment on the Gentiles and the final deliverance of Israel and will eventually bring about the fulfillment of Psalm 2. Turn to Psalm 2 and we can read that together. Psalm 2 and verse 9. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron, thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. It is my belief that if you understand these commissions, if you understand that the Gospels are organized by subject matter, and very specifically, the proclamation of the kingdom, the proclamation of the king, the rejection of the king and the rejection of the kingdom. The parables are all about those subjects. The prophecies are all about those subjects. And then when you overlay these commissions over the book of Acts and all the church epistles, then you start to understand the Bible the way God wanted you to understand it. You start to understand the times the way God wanted you to understand it. That first John the Baptist's ministry was in place, and then Christ came and he continued John the Baptist's ministry. He was called the servant of John. He continued that. And then that stopped, and then the second commission started. And we're still in that. The first message was pardon. The second was repent. Because maybe we can still pull this kingdom thing off, but it's not going to happen. Because the Jews rejected it officially in Acts chapter 28. And God just stopped talking about it, pushed the pause button. So that's it. It's going to happen later. And he's going to push the play button. And that's what the third commission is all about. That's not our doing. We're not going to have anything to do with that. We're not even going to be here to orchestrate that. We might come back with Christ when that's going on, but that's going to be proclaimed by these other people that I've already mentioned. And so, if you understand these things, then when you read the Bible, you'll have a different feel for it. Well, in summary, there are three commissions. And I just listed them. The continuation of Christ's own ministry in John the Baptist was all about repentance and remission of sins. It was like the big pardon. And everybody rejected it. And that's passed in application. Number two, they were sent for and they preached everywhere, the Lord working them with signs, confirming the word with signs following. And that's present right now. And number three, to get the Gentile nations to submit to the Lord Jesus as the King of Israel. And then interlaced within these three commissions is the proclamation, rejection, and future manifestation of the kingdom of God and the King. The proclamation of the kingdom was postponed and is now held in abeyance. And I'm just following the way they're laid out in the Gospels. Then the proclamation of the king is cited in the Gospels many times, with Jesus being addressed as Lord or Son of Man. Peter said that Jesus was the Messiah, the Son of the living God. This was all the proclamation. And so when you see that, then all of a sudden that kind of talk stops. And then the rejection of the kingdom starts. In fact, it's marked by when Jesus said he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things. Before this, Jesus never even hinted at his rejection. After this, he repeated it four times, and it shows up like that in each of the Gospels. Then, finally, you have the fourth, the rejection of the king, and it's marked by several incidents, including when he went forth from the upper room to Gethsemane. It was during this rejection period that Jesus related the second series of the parables, discussing the rejection and postponement of the kingdom. And I read to you Matthew 22, verses 1 through 10. It closed with the Last Supper. Today, we have learned many wonderful truths regarding the time Jesus spent on earth after his resurrection and the things he taught those people. I'd say that he was one very busy man. That's it. Thank you.